All right, good morning. Can you hear me in the back? Good? Everybody seated? Ready to go? Excellent. Because of the interest of time, I'm not going to talk about evapotranspiration. I'm just going to show you data from photosynthesis that we collected, but they were quite similar results, as you can imagine. So, okay, I probably don't have to go into a great detail talking about drought stress to this audience, so we'll cover it fairly quickly, but there is increasingly limited water available for irrigation and turf grass. And drought can occur anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world now. And drought restrictions may be imposed on turf managers with no regard to turf grass damage. So at Kansas State, over the past 3-4 years, probably longer than that, but the studies I've been involved in, we're looking at cultivars of Kentucky bluegrasses that maintain quality under drought stress. So grasses that still perform fairly well under drought stress and require less water. And this could be beneficial to both homeowners and golf course superintendents. So canopy photosynthesis, how is this going to help us work to these objectives? Canopy photosynthesis is a fundamental indicator of sensitivity of turf grass to drought stress. And we can compare drought stress or really any kind of stresses to the turf grass among cultivars. If we can measure canopy photosynthesis. If you're measuring photosynthesis and you're measuring ET, you can get an idea of water use efficiency. And in the future, if we have good measurements of canopy photosynthesis, we can develop models for turf grass because we'll have some ground truth measurements and we can go back and check those models. So looking out into the future, that's kind of where we could go with this. And this presentation, when I'm talking about photosynthesis, what I'll be presenting is gross photosynthesis, which is abbreviated PG, and that is the addition of net photosynthesis, which is PNET, which we get from a measurement from a sunlit chamber. And then added back into that is the sum of canopy respiration and soil respiration, so RC and RS, and this will give you gross photosynthesis. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about this, just so I can stay more on topic, but if you are interested in taking photosynthesis measurements, we would strongly suggest that you take gross photosynthesis measurements. There's a great paper by Bremer and Ham. It was in Crop Science in 05 that deals specifically with this. So this is what we collected in this study is gross photosynthesis. So the objectives of this study, we were going to dry down 5 cultivars of Kentucky bluegrass, and we're going to measure gross photosynthesis with a custom chamber. And we also had ancillary measurements of soil water collected at 5 centimeters in the soil profile and at 20 centimeters. Moving into materials and methods, this is our custom turf grass chamber, photosynthesis chamber that we developed at Kansas State University. The sides are plastic, and the top is heat-stretched propofilm C. We've got a series of 4 mixing fans here in the corners, and then this is an air blower in the middle to ensure that we get good air mixing inside the chamber. And then the air is actually drawn from this racetrack in the middle and then taken to the infrared gas analyzer on the back. And I have a picture of that in a minute. We have an IRT mounted here on the top or on the side that we can get canopy temperature, and then we also get air temperature from inside the sampling racetrack here. All the data is collected with a Campbell Scientific CR10X, which is here in the cooler, and this also runs the program. Trainer attributes, if anyone's worked with photosynthesis, you probably have worked with the Lycor 6400. We have one of those and we have used that. This system's a little bit different. This is a non-steady state design where it's a closed loop, so you're just measuring the rate change of CO2 and water vapor, so you can get ET, inside the chamber. The 6400 is like a matching patch ergo where you bring air samples through, you have a sample side and you have a test side, and you have to let it get to equilibrium. We don't have to do that because we're measuring the rate change over time, and we can get a faster measurement in about 30 to 40 seconds versus about 4 minutes on some of those other systems with turf chambers. We also have we have reduced variability, which is nice in turf grass to get a larger area of sampling due to the fact that it's a larger chamber size. This picture is the back of the photosynthesis chamber. The gas analyzer is an infrared gas analyzer. It's the LI840. It's developed by Licor, and this is a really, really good unit. I know the Licor people are down there, so you can talk to them about it, but it's really what makes the chamber, why we're able to do this kind of research. You can orient this up, down, left, right. You can move it around. It stays very, very solid. We've brought it in every year to zero it and span it, and it doesn't drift at all. It's a really, really nice unit. I've been really happy with it. We also have a pressure transducer on the back to make sure that we're not pulling a vacuum or overpressurizing the system to that would stop soil respiration. In addition, we have a quantum sensor mounted on the top to measure incoming solar radiation. Measurements of gross photosynthesis were taken only on clear days. You have to go out when it's clear. You can't go out when it's cloudy. The stomates are going to open and close. You're going to have different levels of light levels coming in. So we have to go out on those nice clear days, which happens occasionally on Kansas. It's usually on Sundays, it seems like, or Saturdays. We went out at solar noon to take our measurements. That way the incoming solar radiation wouldn't change as much. The sun angle stays pretty constant. And this is how, when I talked about that gross photosynthesis, we had to have a covered measurement to get canopy respiration, soil respiration. We did this with a very high-end cardboard box and duct tape. And it's very hard to find a box that fits that so well, but it works quite well. And that's how we took the canopy respiration measurements. In addition, for soil water content, we use dual probe heat pulse sensors at 5 and 20 centimeters. This is what these look like. They were developed at Kansas State University. We can build these in lab. They have a thermistor on one side that measures temperature, so you can get a measure of soil temperature. And then they have a heater on the other needle, and when they're measuring soil water content, they send a heat pulse across these needles, and that's related to the soil water content in the soil. They're really nice because you can get a nice, accurate measurement of soil water content at a very specific point, right in between the two needles. You're not integrating over a large area like you would be under a TDR or some of those other measurements. This is a picture of the data acquisition system for the dual probes, and this is actually a cleaner one. Mine looks a little bit messy. This is a 32-probe system. You have a Campbell Scientific 10X on the side, and then you have three multiplexers doing all the work. It's fairly invasive, and there's a lot of wires, but when they work very well, and when they don't work, they're a pain, but they're great when they work, and I've got some data to show you that's pretty neat. We had 5 cultivars of Kentucky bluegrasses, what represented a wide range of water requirements based on a previous study of water use of Kentucky bluegrasses. Again, we were trying to see if in the water use study, we wanted them to maintain acceptable quality. So using less water while maintaining acceptable quality and representing different groups. Our 5 cultivars were spread. This is data we collected in 07 on the water use. And we had Apollo, which is a Compact America, New Destiny, Compact Midnight, Thermal Blue Blaze, Texas Bluegrass Hybrid. We had Baron, a BVMG, and then Kim Blue was a common. So a wide range of water uses. The study was a randomized complete block with 3 reps under our rainout shelter at Kansas State. And the data I'm presenting is on over a 26-day dry down. So we'll look at the results. This is gross canopy photosynthesis over pretty much the month of August. The first measuring date was August 4th. And then gross photosynthesis is here, and it's a positive number. So if you think of it as carbon flux, it'd be negative, but the way we calculate it, it comes out as a positive number. Overall, over this whole study, if you run the stats, Apollo was consistently higher in gross photosynthesis. We saw that almost on any sampling date. Kim Blue starts off really high and then drops down, so it comes out about a B. If I ran these as individual dates, it'd be high here and drop down here. Baron was the lowest consistently throughout the entire study. Also on this graph, you'll see that gross photosynthesis declines quickly within the first 2 weeks and then starts to flatten out. We wanted to run these down until they totally shut down and we had zero gross photosynthesis, but we were trying to fit in another dry down cycle, and we're trying to do that now. So we got them down to about 5 or so, and then we let them recover, and we're still taking those measurements, and I'm hoping to finish that before it snows. Looking at the soil water content with data we collected, similar setup as before with the colors. If it's a solid line, that is measured at 5 centimeters. The dashed line is at 20 centimeters. And you've got volumetric soil water content on the y-axis, and then day of year along the time over the same dry down period as the gross canopy photosynthesis measurements. What we can take away from this, you can see that pretty much all the cultivars at 5 centimeters draw down the water very, very quickly within those first 2 weeks, and that's why we saw the big decline in gross canopy photosynthesis. You'll see that Baron and Apollo both drew it down pretty low here at 5 centimeters, and even up here at 20 centimeters, they were fairly consistent, even though their gross canopy photosynthesis was much different. If you look at the common type, Kin Blue, it takes it down to 5 centimeters, but up here at 20, it's just not mining it as well, doesn't appear. And if you look at Thermal Blue Blaze, it's still drawing water down here at 20 centimeters when we stop the dry down. So. Dilapobeta is really nice to look at the changes over time of the soil water content. So we have to acknowledge there might be something going on deeper in the root zone. Possibly that's what's going on with Apollo. We're not quite sure. So conclusions of the study is the new chamber performed well. This is the second or third summer that we've done measurements with it. We found Apollo had highest gross photosynthesis, which would possibly imply that Apollo has better performance under drought, meaning that it stays greener and it has better quality under drought than Baron, who had the lowest gross photosynthesis. Higher photosynthesis or gross photosynthesis in Apollo was apparently related to more than soil water content. Next year, they're planning a study to look at the lipidomics of the system of the turf grasses as well to see if that can possibly explain it. Since I'm almost out of time, quick thank you to the USGA, Turf Grass Producers International, Kansas Turf Grass Foundation for funding, Cody Goldsby for plot maintenance, the graduate students from Nebraska for giving me clothes because my luggage has not arrived yet. And if anyone has questions and can't catch me, you can email me there, jlu@ksu.edu, and Dr. Brammer's email is there as well. So if we have time, I will take any questions.
One question.
And I'll stick around afterwards.
How much it costs you?
Oh, it's actually not that, it's not that bad. Whatever, I can't remember what the 840 cost, Lycor, I think that's $8,000-$9,000. And other than that, it's just the fans, the pressure transducers. The 10X is gonna cost you a little bit. You'll probably have to go to the 10, well, if you can't get a 10X, go to the new series for Campbell Scientific. But other than that, it's just, I mean, that's plexiglass, propofilm C is not real expensive, the pressure transducer is not real expensive, and then the IRT. So I can't give you a cost estimate, but we will have a paper coming out around Christmas with the construction details. And then if you have more details, it's based on a PhD study from agronomy where they'd had a larger chamber and they had something similar. And if you email me that, I can send you that, the dissertation with the full parts list that he used. I think that's my one.
Thank you, Jason.